You cannot teach an old dog new tricks. You cannot teach an old dog new tricks. Now, this is a phrase that is quite common, perhaps used in many countries, not just this country. And let's investigate that. Why is it that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks? Number one, you have the image in your mind that the dog is old. And the dog does not learn well when he's old, we think. We have the image in our mind that the dog will not live many years, or it could die any moment. And so we do not take the time to train them. We do not take the time or the interest to train them. We feel that an old dog is set in his ways, as we say of people oftentimes, and so we do not feel that the dog is going to be receptive to training, to new understanding, to new beingness. And as long as we have that feeling in our mind, the dog has that feeling in its mind, because the dog is a reflection of our consciousness. And if our consciousness is fearful, if our consciousness is in the idea that it isn't going to work, if our consciousness is in the idea that it's not worth it, which is perhaps the biggest thing, it's not worth it, because it's too short a time that they're going to live. Many of the super, super great people of our time, that is, who are very active in life and who are very progressive in life, for instance, Prime Minister Churchill, when he was in his ancient years, he took up painting, and he became a passable painter. Eisenhower took up painting long after he retired, tired from many, many things, and became a good painter. Grandma Moses became a type of painter. Picasso, he took up different style of painting in his latter years, you know? And many, and that's just the top dogs, you know, that we can talk about. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Now, I would like to make a comment that sets the foundation or keystone for everything we're saying right now. And that comment is, there is only one moment in life, and that is the moment right now. And if we don't live the moment right now to its fullest, most exciting, best, well, that moment will never come. It is dead. We might as well be dead ourselves, because we are not participating in our life to the fullest and the highest and the best at this one moment, which is just wonderful. Why is it that we don't? Because we've told ourselves it doesn't matter. And you see, this is something that is a term we use occasionally here. It doesn't matter. Everything matters. What kind of an attitude we have about it. It doesn't matter truly what we do or what we don't do, but it matters what our attitude is about it. See, that's the big thing. And that's what we want to discard, is our attitude. We say, doesn't matter, you know. We want to have the attitude of laissez-faire, of total disconcern, and that's impossible. Because you're living and breathing every moment. You cannot say one moment you're going to just not pay attention to life. And of course, that's what happens. In one moment, you have a accident, nothing happens by chance, and you're dead. In one moment, something changes your entire life. In one moment, you get married, and now you have a different responsibility. Another moment, you have a child, and you have a different responsibility. Before the child came, you had responsibilities for the growing child, you know, but before you got pregnant, before the family even considered having a child, that is, you know, definitely because it was on the way, they didn't think anything about it. They went out and did their thing. They played their games and spent their nights on the dance floor and stuff like that and had a great time, you know. But once the child is on the way, mama can't do that. And once the child is on the way, sex is a little more limited too. and many other things are limited. And hey, if having a child means we have this and that and the other problem, let's not have children. So, but once you've decided, or once you have made the commitment, then it's done. And you can reverse it. The child can be born dead or something like that, or whatever. That's not very nice. But the thing is, you can reverse this by your thinking, and people do. People do. They don't want the child. They don't, not the child they don't want, they don't want the responsibility. I don't think anyone would ever say they don't want the child as a being, but they don't want the responsibility. And so, not wanting the responsibility, what do? They play dead, you know? And when they play dead, then, of course, all sorts of problems come up in their life. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We can teach an old dog new tricks. What does it take to teach an old dog new tricks? It takes a lot of patience and a lot of love. Now, I'm walking the path with Button every morning. Before, I always let him run free because I was walking in the daylight. Now, in the night, I want to make sure I know where he is. And so, I have him on the leash. And he's pulling. And I put him on a collar, a harness leash, so he wouldn't choke himself all the time, which he seemed to enjoy very much. So I put him on this harness leash, and now with the harness leash, he's pulling forward like a workhorse, you know. With the harness on the workhorse, he's pulling the plow through the field, you know, and he just pulled it away. And I've been saying to him, Button, heel. Button, stay by me now. And then I'd pull him back and release the leash a little bit so that he would have a little drape in the leash. And then a few minutes later, boom, he was out there full force again for all of the wonderful scents of the morning, you know, all of the wonderful creatures that are all around and stuff like that. But you see, there is where part of my fault is. My fault is I think the dog wants to smell all these creatures. I think the dog wants to have his nose busy and enjoy himself. I think that. And because I think that, he does it. Now, Herb, you're going to try to tell me that if you didn't think it, he wouldn't do that? That's right. That's exactly right. But you see, I have been trained from childhood to think that a dog wants to go and wants to run and wants to do this, and that a dog's unnatural behavior is to behave. A dog's natural behavior is to run wild and have a great time. You got big dogs, you got to let them out. Hey, there's no difference between a big dog and a little dog. There's no difference between a big person and a little person. There's no difference between a big country and a little country. There's no difference between love and love. It's all the same. So when we realize that everything in our world is part of our consciousness, everything in our world is our thought. And if we want the dog to behave, as we think behave means, then we must behave in our thinking. We must behave in our thought. Now, how do you behave in your thought? Here I am training Button, and then Sylvie comes along with her flashlight and her puppy, and I say, please walk ahead, you know, because Button was back and front and here and there. He was checking everything out, and I didn't want any more distractions for him than necessary. And as soon as Sylvie had gone by, then Button behaved a little more because he couldn't have an excuse, you know, going off to see this or that. But I do believe in a few minutes I should have him trained to what I have in my consciousness. And which it means I train my consciousness. I have to change my mind as to what I think Button wants to do. Button has no more desire to do anything than what I want him to do. If I want Button to walk by my side, he will walk by my side because he's my creation, right? I mean, why should I give my creation permission to do things that I don't feel are harmonious for them to do? You all have no trouble with this. You have no trouble with this concept that I'm going to tell you. And yet you have trouble with the idea that the dog should walk by your side and there's nothing out there that interests him, only you. You're his master. You have no trouble with this concept now. The concept is, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. You have no trouble with the concept of not having war in your existence, in your experience, right? You have no trouble with that. You know, and it's not just right. It does not matter whether it's right or wrong. It only matters that what is your choice. Do you want war? Then you will find lots of wars. Do you want peace? Then you will find peace. What do you really want? What is it that's really important to us? That's what we'll find, you know? That's what we'll find. When I'm looking for peace, I find peace. When I'm looking for anxiety, when I'm looking to push a few buttons, I find buttons to push. Otherwise, I don't see those buttons. I don't see those buttons at all. But I only see them when I think, time for a little training, you know? And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 all these buttons stand out. And they're saying, push me, push me, push me, you know. And then when I push them, they don't shut up, you know. Then you say, but, they argue for your limitations, you know. You know, we have the statement, agree with your adversary quickly. Well, your adversary is that which is not the direction you want to go. So if you agree with the adversary quickly, the adversary stops being an adversary and starts being a friend. It's not that you agree to do or think what that person does, but, hey, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I understand that country should not come over and take your country. That country should not come over and steal your government. That country should not do this. I understand what you're saying. I understand. See, that's agreeing with your adversary. Yeah, agreeing with your adversary is not, hey, you're right, that country should not come over. That country should, let's go fight them, let's go beat them up, you know. See, that's not agreeing with your adversary. That's going beyond. Now, yes, I agree that country should enjoy their own country and not come over and take over your country. But I see them now uninterested in your country. I see them now harmonious. I see them now recognizing a great economic benefit of working between. See, this, you don't have to do all that stuff. It's the point. It's the point. You change your attitude. You change your attitude from adversarial to one that is very much love and peace and harmony and cooperation. It's just a matter of changing your attitude. When someone comes up and wants to hit us in the face, Jesus said, let them hit the other cheek. And why did he say that? Because you're supposed to be a weakling or a milquetoast or something? No. He said that because you can't kick a dead horse. You can't knock somebody when they're down. You can't hurt an imbecile. You see, when you're in charge, when you've taken over, then what happens? Now, you know the story of the mouse and the elephant, don't you? If you don't know the story of the mouse and the elephant, my gracious. Elephants are deathly afraid of mice, according to the story. And an elephant can walk into, a mouse can walk into an elephant's pen, and the elephant, back away from it like this. This is the story. I mean, whether it's true or not, I don't matter. But it's the story. And so the mouse, this little tiny nothing mouse that the elephant could just step on and the little mouse would say adios, you know, frightens the elephant. Now, why does the mouse frighten the elephant? Let me make another illustration. Why do you swat the fly that flies around your head? Why do you get the fly off your ear and off your face? Why do you do that? He's just a little tiny fly. He says he's smaller than a mouse, actually, you know. He's really so tiny, and you let him bother you. Now, are there some people, not because they have chemical differences in their body, But are there some people who are not disturbed by these creatures, or any creatures? I'd say a lot. A lot. And why are they not concerned? Because they do not put their attention on them. They put their attention on something else. We can teach an old dog new tricks, but it takes patience and love. And if you'll excuse me for saying so, we are the old dog. We are the old dog that we want to take patience and love and teach. And you see, I'm sorry to say this, but every time you object to me, you're not following who you are. Don't ever object to anything I tell you. Just go along and do what is right. Go along. Agree with your adversary. If you call me your adversary as I give you instructions or directions, agree with it and go along with it. Follow it. I think you'll be happy sitting here, Ingeborg. Agree with it. Go along with it and follow it. And you'll be so content and so fulfilled that life will just be the greatest measure that you could ever ask. But we are the old dog. And we want to teach us new tricks with love. And we don't teach us new tricks by threatening us. This one man was training these dogs down in El Cajon. And the woman brought her little dog to him, and he was training the dog. And then she came to pick up her dog, and the dog was dead. And she said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, he just broke his neck somehow." "How did he break his neck?" "I have no idea." And then she had some detective go over to the dog training school and watch from a distance, you know, and look, you know, from the bushes and watch what the guy was doing. And he would take the dog that was on the leash. And when the dog wouldn't behave, he'd take that leash and go, "Wah! Now behave!" You know, we all have a tendency to want to do that, you know, because we're irritated. But, "Wah!" And when you have a little tiny dog, what happens? You break their neck. And that's what he did. But she wanted to know what had happened. And money wasn't the object. It was the principle. It was the truth. And she found it out. So, you see, that's what we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to break the neck of whatever it is that objectionable to us, whatever it is that disturbs us. And we don't want to do that. We want to love it with all our heart, all our soul, and all our being. And as we love it, it all dissolves into harmony and peace and joy. That, I think, is what we want to do. Yeah. Is life worth living? Moment by moment. One moment is eternity. And live it and enjoy it. Because it'll never come again. All I have to do is say to Anita, "Your mom on the phone." And she's with her mom on the phone, remembering it. Oh, yeah. And she got all sorts of smiles and frowns on her face as she's thinking about it. That moment, was that not a precious moment that she had with her mother? Is that a moment that will live in history in her mind? Surely it will. Is that a moment that will live in history in our minds, from what she told us? Yes. You see, it just takes a moment. And let's make that moment the most precious moment that we can ever imagine it to be. Let's make that moment something that we want to do and want to be. We can teach an old dog new tricks. But we have to have patience. And we have to have love. And we have to have wisdom. The wisdom not to be touched by the world around us that says it ain't so, you know. We have to have the wisdom that we're not going to be pushed around by other ideas. We're just going to follow our own heart. But in following our own heart, what are we going to do? We're going to do it with love. Are you ready for that? I am. So, I say, go for it. We can teach an old dog new tricks. But remember, we're the old dog. And this is the only moment that there is. I love you.